Answers Magazine, Volume 9.4, page 11, Perspective. Artificial life in biology? The headlines are pretty spectacular. Scientists create alien life form with artificial genetic code. And the facts are truly impressive. Through years of careful experimentation, scientists at the Scripps Research Institute have made a breakthrough in genetic engineering. Researchers, led by chemist Floyd Romsberg, have designed a bacterium with genetic material that includes an added pair of DNA letters, or bases, that are not naturally found. This research represents a leap forward in our understanding of the basic building block of life. It is a good example of how understanding God's creation helps us exercise dominion over it as God intended. And this advance promises to yield exciting applications to medicine and other fields. Inevitably, some observers are claiming that the researchers have also taken a step toward showing how life could arise from non-life. In reality, though, the suggestion that chance processes could mimic highly intelligent scientists is a stretch. By applying their considerable intelligence over many years, Dr. Romsberg's team has accomplished something marvelous that no unguided natural process could ever do over any span of time. Amazing as this breakthrough is, the Scripps researchers still did not create new DNA from nothing. Instead, they inserted artificially formed bases into existing DNA and found a way to fool an existing cell into accepting that DNA. This clever engineering, by definition, involved human intelligence and could never have occurred naturally. Moreover, no new genetic information was added to the bacterium, as evolution requires to turn one life form into another. The New York Times extrapolated the Scripps team's findings to an even higher level. The work also gives some support to the concept that life can exist elsewhere in the universe using genetics different from those on Earth. Whether on Earth or elsewhere in the universe, the idea of life evolving from non-living elements through natural processes will never overcome the truth of Genesis 1, or the tried and tested biological law that life comes from life. Dinosaurs, the gateway drug. Dinosaurs have become an icon of evolution. Their fossils are probably used more than any other natural phenomenon to help proclaim the evolutionary worldview as if it were true science. As Kirk Johnson, director of the Smithsonian's Natural History Museum, puts it, "Dinosaurs are the gateway drug to science for kids." That's why Johnson is so excited about the addition of an impressive 38-foot-long T-Rex skeleton loaned to the Smithsonian collection. It is one of the first exhibits in a $48 million makeover of the museum's Dinosaur Hall, scheduled to open in 2019. And it will present the evolutionary story that this creature died 66 million years ago. Since 1997, when it lost the bid for Sue, the most famous T-Rex fossil ever found, the Smithsonian has displayed a life-size replica of Stan, a less impressive T-Rex fossil unearthed in 1987. But Smithsonian officials recognize that a cast, no matter how realistic, is no replacement for the real thing. Johnson even said that for the Smithsonian to not have a real T-Rex was unforgivable. Secularists see dinosaur fossils as proof of evolution that confounds creationists. Television commentator Rachel Maddow used that word recently when she lamented the donation of a world-class Allosaurus skeleton, resembling a T-Rex, to the Creation Museum last May. But to the consternation of evolutionists, biblical creationists have been increasingly adopting dinosaurs as their own mascot. It doesn't take much to understand why creationists love dinosaurs. Their fossils are found in continent-wide layers of sedimentary rock, in positions that indicate rapid and violent burial. Such conditions are exactly what we would expect to be the case in the worldwide flood of Noah's day. Furthermore, evidence, such as the still pliable soft tissues and intact bone cells, has been mounting in recent years and further revealing that dinosaur remains cannot be as old as the evolutionary timeline purports. So biblical creationists happily employ these regal giants as an effective teaching tool to proclaim the biblical view of Earth history.
Look at the fish. While the Fox TV network and National Geographic were broadcasting a Big Bang sales pitch, Cosmos, PBS was doing its part for the evolutionary cause as well. In the miniseries, Your Inner Fish, Harvard-trained paleontologist Neil Shubin described his discovery of the famous Tiktaalik tetrapod fish fossil, the first fish fossil with leg-like appendages. Dr. Shubin, an enthusiastic teacher, focused on the idea that humans are descended from fish because our anatomy shares many features with fish, such as the bone structure of our limbs. The program is well done, technically, but the case for evolution is not new. It's a slick repackaging of the argument that biological similarity means common ancestry. Creationists point out that shared biological structures are the common designs we would expect from our common designer. In the Bible, our Creator implores us to learn about life by looking at ants and lizards, and He even compares human anatomy to that of deer. See Psalm 18, verse 33, for example. In each case, the creatures God uses for instruction have features like ours, such as eyes, faces, and legs. In this context, biological similarity has value and meaning. So does Tiktaalik represent the evolutionary transition from life in the water to life on land? Apparently not. Researchers in Poland have found footprints in rock formations that predate Tiktaalik by 18 to 20 million years using secular dating methods. Yet supposedly no footed animals existed at that time. In reality, Tiktaalik was specifically designed for the environment in which God placed it, most likely great pre-flood floating forests, where an ability to move in and out of the water would have been a distinct advantage. Ironically, Harvard, where Dr. Shubin received his PhD, was also the school of one of the most influential creationists of the 19th century, Dr. Louis Agassiz, who specialized in fish fossils. Dr. Agassiz famously introduced a new graduate student to this field of study by making him look at a preserved fish for 3 days. Dr. Agassiz left his student to ponder the fish for hours at a time, looking for new perspectives and insights. When working with the student, he repeatedly exclaimed, "Look at the fish!" Perhaps if secular scientists would look closely at the fish from a different perspective, they would see how the fascinating patterns point to a single pattern maker who put his signature on all living things. The UK's new state religion. Bible-believing Christians in the United Kingdom are lamenting the loss of more religious liberties. The government has slapped more restrictions on the teaching of origins in schools, including many Christian schools. Teaching the creation model has already been outlawed in government-funded schools, but groups like the British Humanist Association were not satisfied and sought greater restrictions. The new regulation, issued by the nation's Department of Education, declares that if a church-run school uses public funds, the school must prohibit teachers from exposing students to the scientific problems with the evolution model. Further, if the topic of creation comes up in these religiously affiliated schools, teachers may not discuss creation or intelligent design unless they also tell the students that the idea is scientifically unsupportable. Move over, Church of England. There's a new religion in town. Evolutionism is the de facto state religion of the UK. While in the USA, some states grant teachers the academic freedom to talk to students about the problems with evolution, many educators seek to impose similar secular humanism in all science classes in the United States. If the movement succeeds, America's de facto state religion will be even more entrenched.